You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. Right, this is the show where we say what we do right in the title. We lean into what's going on locally here in Greater Green Bay. And again, not to be discount what's going on nationally and internationally, we're concerned about all of that. But that's for other venues. This venue
Mayor,
here...
Do you have permission to use that song?
As a lawyer,
you know, I'm looking at this as...
I'll get to you in a minute. We built it rock and roll, and when I would get politicians
Jefferson
in here...
Jefferson Starship,
I'm glad you're still with it. People running for, like, mayor of, you know, whatever, Manitowoc, Nina Menasha, I'm like, what is your rock and roll? You know, what are the things? And, you know, a lot of times all the people, of course, or they might say their education or the natural resources. Mine, and you've heard me say this a million times, but it is the volunteers in the community, although God bless the businesses. But
sure.
And I had the coordinator from the volunteer... Brown County Volunteer Center here, and just the hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that he coordinates and the need that's out there. Well, I say it's the volunteers and the Green Bay Packers. That is my rock and roll. Those are the two things that we built this city on. Yeah. And I think from there, we have a lot of great things that happen in Green Bay, but we couldn't do it without either one of them, and I've said that. So when the music came along... I'm like, they said, well, what do you want for your intro music? I'm like,
we built this city. It's perfect.
But I didn't get permission.
It's not you. It's we. Everybody
right.
together.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you have a huge leadership role. And we're going to, so our guest, and I've been trying to get you on for some time, and I'm glad you're here, but you've been very busy. Our special guest here that has built this city and very community-minded is Mark Murphy, the former president of the Green Bay Packers. You know, I have 8 pages of questions. I was working on this last week. First of all, welcome.
Well, it's great to be here.
Yeah,
good. It's been a long time.
Yeah,
I'm there. I really enjoyed working with you.
Yeah, that was.
We didn't always agree on everything, but together we got a lot done.
I don't think, and I think that's okay. Yeah. I just want to say, Mark, you know, my wife wouldn't say we agree on anything. It's just, that's just the way the world is. But we got stuff done, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
You know, we got to it.
And I have tremendous respect for you, Mary. A lot of politicians are afraid to make decisions, and that you were always willing to make the tough call and always focused on making Green Bay a better city.
Yeah. And if that can be your focus, it makes the job easier.
Yeah.
No. Because there's a lot of politics in politics. You know,
I'm glad I'm not a politician.
Well, I'm going to get to my 8th page. I'm going to talk about that. But it did get done. And sometimes you look back and, you know, could I have done more? And I think everybody says that when they leave. But it did work. And like you said, it was we that got it done. It was working with the Green Bay Packers, the Oneida Nation, the Chamber.
Sure.
And just people, and obviously the people of Green Bay, but... We did get a lot done, and I think, you know, that's just got to continue. Mm-hmm. But back to you. So Mark Murphy is in the house, and so can I go to my 8th page? Do you have any political ambitions? That's what I was going to end the interview with, but now that we started. So let me just tell you, I know a little bit about politics, 20 years in that racket. People who have some experience that show some leadership, that are respectful, think they can go pretty far. Do you talk about that? Can I just jump to that? It's the last page.
I have
page
absolutely
here.
No interest at all in politics.
Really?
Well, I'm interested in politics, but not being...
Not on the ballot?
I don't want to be on the ballot, no.
Really?
No. Barking up the wrong tree, Mayor.
Okay. All right. I'll go back to page one. I do want to talk to... everyone knows you, and as I told you when we talked a couple weeks ago, I really... The shareholders meeting, which been at, I think, pretty pretty much all of them. That was a great tribute to you. Did you know that was coming? That was quite an honor.
It wasn't a complete surprise, but there were
right.
It did. It was overwhelming, and I was very humbled.
Yeah,
it was very nice.
And again, it's down the road, but I don't want to jump around. But I'm a huge, as I was of you, and we worked a lot together on a number of things. When you came to the city in 2008.
At the end of the 07 season.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And then I was elected in 2003. So we spent, many years together. You've done a good job with your successor. I'm a huge fan of Ed Policy.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. No, Ed is definitely ready for the,
right.
for the move. And, yeah. And, he was instrumental in so many of the things that we did, especially Titletown and relations with the city.
Right.
We love Ashwaubenon. We love Green Bay.
Yeah.
Mayor, we need to think of greater Green Bay, not just the city.
Did I ever say that? The hell with them. What about us? Yeah. Okay.
Did I ever tell you my Joe Theismann story?
No.
All right. Well, Joe Theismann.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So 1982, we go out on strike, and I'm the Redskins player rep. I'm vice president of the union. I'm actively involved in the negotiations. We've been on strike 57 days. The very end of the strike, I brought the whole team together. The owners had just made an offer to us, and I said, listen, it's not everything we wanted, but it's going to benefit 99% of the players. I think we should vote to accept it and come off a strike. Joe Theismann stood up and said, 99% of the players, 99% of the players, what about me? So whenever my kids, when kids were growing up, whenever anybody would say, what about me, Dad? I'd say, don't be like Joe Theismann.
it's one of those Star Trek things, the good of the many outweigh the good of the few. And you've got to, especially in politics, there's
always going to be somebody that doesn't. Yeah.
And it's, you think, well, no, not always, but it is always. It just is, Mark. Even if you say, well, we're going to give everybody $100, it's like, well, wait a minute, why don't we give these people $200 and these people, just it's everything is two sides, which is kind of what, as long as you're willing to talk about it, it makes democracy great.
Yeah.
And we've kind of lost a little bit of that, I'm afraid, on the federal level, although I think there's some people that would like to get back to talking, because once you stop talking, that's the beginning of the end.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
I mean, it's... anyway, we always had a great, so I want to start back to where we're both the same age. You're
both old men. it's a reality.
It kind of is. I just, Con, I don't know if you can on the video, but knowing Mark was going to be here today, and I was showing you out in the parking lot, that I did honor him by wearing I went and dug out my Packer sport coat. So inside the lining here, it's got the Packer G, and it says Packers.
It's impressive.
These are NFL cuffs.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah,
this was not cheap. But then it shrunk for a few years, Mark. But I'm back at it now.
Did you buy it at Packers Pro Shop?
Of course I did.
Okay, good. Yeah.
When I got elected, I'm going to get to our interview pretty soon. You guys... I had three daughters, younger daughters, and we would go to your games, some away games. And you didn't buy them for me, but you gave me your discount or an employee discount. And we bought sweatsuits, running suits. And the quality of the stuff at the pro shop was second to none. That is good stuff. This jacket I've had for probably 15 years. You know what I mean? So
lots of times you pay a little more.
You do.
But it's worth it.
It was. It was.
Yeah.
Anyway, you do have good quality.
And now your daughters are in New York City, huh?
Yeah.
Great place to visit. I wouldn't want to live there.
Yeah, you were there. You were there a couple weeks ago, right?
Yes.
Were you?
Yeah. My wife and I, we went to a couple plays in New York, which was great. Yeah. And then we drove up to Hamilton, New York. We have a lot of friends there.
Well, that's where, did you go to school?
That's where Colgate is located.
Colgate, of course I knew that.
Yeah. So I met my wife, Laurie, at Colgate. So we both went to Colgate, and then I was the athletic director there for 12 years.
Your career is interesting, and we're going to talk about where it's going from now, but you ended up with the Packers when you were a kid in New York. Like, you were in high school in the 70s, right? That's right. Because I was in the 70s.
I was in New York, but I was 9 hours from New York City.
Okay, so
that was
upstate.
In Buffalo.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah. Well, Western New York. There's a big difference between upstate. Well, and when you talk to some people, say upstate New York is like Westchester, which is like an hour north. Oh, that's not really up very far.
Right.
It's a pet peeve of mine. I apologize.
Okay, I sense that. Were you a Packer fan when you were in high school? Because high school is when you kind of get your allegiance. Isn't it a grade school, high school?
No. I was a huge Bills fan. Okay. Love the Buffalo Bills.
All right. Then
went to, my father, we had season tickets to the Bills games. Went to the first game ever played at the old Rich Stadium.
Yeah.
Remember going to, it was OJ. I actually was a huge OJ Simpson fan. Needless to say, not so much anymore. But I'll never forget. It was in the old War Memorial Stadium. Back when they named stadiums, they weren't
right.
They weren't selling corporate the naming rights.
Right.
War Memorial Stadium. I think it was OJ's rookie year. They had him returning kickoffs, and they kicked the ball to him. He dropped it. He didn't catch it. Everybody started booing. Then he picked it up and he returned it about 80 yards.
Boy, there's a anyway.
Yeah. He was a good football player though.
Yeah, he was.
he was phenomenal.
He was. Hey, school got your degree, law degree. I find it interesting that you went to become the athletic director, go work at two of the most prestigious schools. I mean, there's thousands of places you could have gone, right? You picked Colgate, which is like a mini Ivy League. I mean, that's in the Ivy League, but that's damn close to an Ivy League school. And then Northwestern, was that on your priority list or was that happenstance? I mean, for you to pick schools that are, 12% acceptance rate, $70,000 a year now, GPAs and close to four. I mean, I think they're all both 3.7, 3.8.
Oh, yeah, both phenomenal schools.
So I think
first of all, I went to Colgate. Actually was a three-sport athlete at Colgate.
Really?
Played football for 4 years, basketball for one, and baseball for three. I wasn't really heavily recruited. So I went to high school outside of Buffalo, Clarence Central High School. And really, I was going to go to Boston College, visited, loved it there. But they did not offer me a scholarship. I did not have a single scholarship offer. So I ended up going to Colgate. Colgate at the time was kind of like the Ivy League. It was non-scholarship, was all need-based financial aid, but Division I. And ended up loving Colgate. One of the main reasons I went there was obviously a great school. My grandfather, who was athletic director and baseball coach at Clarkson College up in northern New York, he really respected Colgate. He loved their athletic department. And Colgate was also the only one that would let me play football and basketball. Okay. I wanted to try to play both.
And for you then to go and work there, I mean, that was...
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think if I hadn't... because I wasn't really... Yeah.
Okay. Wait. The music starts. It's one of those things.
All right.
We got some great sponsors. I'm going to give a shout out to as well. But we're with Mark Murphy.
Remember where we are.
Okay. We're with Mark Murphy, former president of the Green Bay Packers. Thanks for being here, Mark. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back, everyone. This is Clean Local with Jim Schmidt with our, like, one of my just favorite people, our in-house guest, Mark Murphy, former president of the Green Bay Packers. And before we pick up our story on Colgate to Northwestern, I do want to thank a couple sponsors. I mean, these shows cost money. We've got to pay our overpriced producer, and we have other things we have to take care of here. So I want to thank two sponsors, and we have a few of them, but these two I want to give a shout out to at this time. One is Pella Windows and Doors of Green Bay. This is a great company that obviously manufactures windows and doors for new construction to old construction. Like, they did all the windows and doors in my house. It's 115 years old. And they come in with their laptop and just show you the different designs, different styles you can get, different quality. And they not only build and best windows, they also install them, which is a lot of times half the battle. And love what they do. And also a great company, you know, here in Green Bay, they do a lot for our community. And I'm always partial to people who give back to our community. I would rather spend my money there. But Pella, did you have this free consultation? Go ahead.
Gina Della from Pella.
Right.
Can't beat it.
That's exactly right. She did stuff with you guys. But they do this free consultation. They come over. They got structure that really, it just enhances the beauty of your home. I love them. So it's just very easy, right? It's just Pella.com. You go online and do that. Or they're right on French Road. They got their new building. We just did the ribbon cutting for that maybe 2 months ago. Or their phone number, 920-435-3791. So Pella Windows and Doors here in Green Bay. Give them a call. Winter's coming up. You want to keep that heat inside. And summer, you want to keep the air conditioner inside. So these are the people that can do it all. At the other sponsor that we have that we all know, and they've been in the news a lot lately, is Nicolet Bank. You know, these guys started in 2002, I think, Mike Daniels and Bob Atwell. And it's incredible, their growth, isn't it?
Oh, both tremendous businessmen and good people.
Yeah. And they, you know, that's the City Deck, the roller coaster. They at the homeless shelter where I work at New Community, they're always there. Then they hire the right employees. Part of their... I think they hire very talented employees, and I think they pay them pretty well, but they also really encourage them to get involved. They're on boards and commissions, and I just think that it's such a community-minded place. And they just bought that bank down in Iowa. Did you see that?
I know, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're growing. They're doing well.
They're doing very well. So lucky to have both those as sponsors. So, hey, before we went to break, we were talking about fact that you know, grew up in the state of New York, went to Colgate, and then when you looked at working after your career with the Redskins, you chose one of the most prestigious schools in the United States, Colgate. I mean, that's right up there with those Ivy League schools. They actually even refer to it as a mini Ivy League. And then you went to Northwestern, which is... I tried to get in there.
I don't think I could have gotten in there.
Those are, like, why did you?
Well, let me take a step back. So when my career ended, really enjoyed my time. When I was with the Redskins, I was very involved in the union. And so I went to work for the union, worked as assistant executive director, and went to law school at night at Georgetown.
Yep.
So ended up getting my law degree and then took a position with the Justice Department in Washington, D.C. I was in an area called Federal Programs in the Civil Division, mostly defending different government agencies that had been sued. I worked there about 4 or 5 years, loved it, wasn't looking to leave, but did miss my involvement in athletics. And at that time, the athletic director position at Colgate opened up.
Yeah.
And the person that was the AD who had retired was a mentor of mine, was a man named Fred Dunlap, who was the head coach when I was a senior at Colgate.
Oh,
and so, you know, I look back on it. Fred was instrumental. I think he really helped me get that position. But Colgate really took a chance on me. I didn't have a background in athletics administration, never worked on a college campus, but... So Colgate offered me the position as athletic director. And so that really kind of changed my career path from, you know, being a lawyer to, you know, an athletic administrator. Worked, really raised our family, all four of our kids. They were all born in the Washington, D.C. area, but really grew up in Hamilton. It's a small.
Oh, yeah.
Hamilton is a very, very small town, 2,700 people. Schools, Colgate's a small school, but we loved it there. were there. I was there for 12 years, and I felt like I'd accomplished as much as I could at Colgate. And then when the opportunity to become the athletic director at Northwestern came, was a man named, I ended up working for a man named Henry Beenan, who was just a brilliant person. Also, I didn't realize at the time, was a huge fan of athletics. It was funny because when I was at Colgate, I had one of the presidents I dealt with, actually, she didn't really understand how football worked and why do they kick the ball away and what's the punt? What are they? Oh, it was like, oh my gosh, I got a lot to teach here. So then I go to Northwestern, and after a tough loss, president called me into his office and said, asked me about the play calling and what I thought of. So it was like completely different. He's like, weren't we a little conservative there at the end of the game?
Oh, why cool. were we? I bet you liked that better.
I did like it better. Oh, yeah. Somebody that really, but you know, the other thing at the Big Ten level, there's just more pressure to win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But we loved it. I loved it at Northwestern, living in Evanston. My youngest daughter ended up actually going to Northwestern. So that was great.
All right. Two great schools, but the greatest thing is what we're going to do when we come back from break, and that's your transition from Northwestern to the Green Bay Packers.
Got it.
I heard about it. I know it was a unanimous vote to bring you on, and boy, am I glad we did. So anyway, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Lean Local. I am your host, Jim Schmidt, and I'm here with a friend and a very special guest, Mark Murphy, former president of the Green Bay Packers. And the first half of the show, we kind of talked about Mark's career, kind of growing up in the state of New York and playing for the Redskins and going to work at Colgate and then to Northwestern. So you were at Northwestern, you were doing a good job there, and then it became our turn. How did that come about? How does one find out about a position with the Green Bay Packers to be the
It's interesting, you know, I look back on it, how fortunate I was. So Bob Harlan, under the bylaws, once you turn 70, you have to retire.
Right.
And they had named his replacement. It was going to be a man named John Jones, and he ended up having health issues. So then they ended up having to do a search for Bob's replacement. And they used a man named Jed Hughes to run the search. And Jed and I had gotten to know each other a little bit because he was coached in the league when I played in the league. So we knew each other, and he contacted me. I was the AD at Northwestern right. at the time. He called me and said, you know, I'm doing a search for the Packers president. Would you be interested? And it didn't take me long to say, well, yes, I'd be very interested. I'd been at Northwestern about 4 years at the time. Wasn't looking to leave, but it was such a unique opportunity with the Packers.
Wow. So that's really the way it happened.
Yeah. They used a search firm, and
I got to believe
my one memory of Green Bay was I played in one of the most famous games.
I was at that game. That was a high school
1983.
Game.
It wasn't a good day to be a defensive back named Mark Murphy.
So how many points?
It wasn't
points?
Good to be. It was 48-47.
Yeah, 48-47.
But
yeah.
Mark Mosley, who was the MVP of the league the year before, first time ever a kicker was the MVP of the league, missed a 37-yard field goal that would have won the game for the Redskins. So, you know, when I start with the Packers,
yeah, well,
I decide I've got to take a tour of Lambeau And I see all these photos from this game. It's like, we got to take these down. This is...
if I get this job.
But, you know, you think about it, you know, obviously the Packers were great in the Lombardi years in the 60s. And then when Favre, but in the 70s and 80s, that was awful. That was like the highlight. Yeah. And they had some really good players, more on the offensive side than
you're right.
Defensive.
That game was the highlight. You think back to that.
That was one of the
dead desert. Yeah. That was one of
the 70s and 80s.
So, all right. So you get this call. It's not like you saw the ad and like, oh God, I hope I get this. Some guy called you and said, hey, look, Mark, you want to be interested in this? How was the interview? Like, what kind of, you don't have to tell me, but what are they looking for? I mean, that's a huge, because it's you know, in quotes, publicly owned team.
Sure.
It's not like, you know, you're Jerry Jones.
You represent the
right. You're with the
Packers
owners.
At the owners' meetings. You know, I think my background as a player helped, but even more so, I think my experience having worked with the Players Association, being involved in collective bargaining on the players' side. Because we were, at the time, heading into the end of the collective bargaining agreement, and they knew that there would be negotiations and potentially a work stoppage coming up, so that my experience would be helpful. I think Paul Tagliabue, who I'd worked pretty closely with over the years, I think he and both Roger were helpful, I think, in saying that, you know, I would be a strong candidate.
It's just great. And I don't think a lot of people, I mean, you weren't a household name.
No.
And
no.
There was some competition locally here.
Yes. Yeah. No, there were. That's I think it's the best job in the NFL.
I wrote a letter for a guy. And it would be made of time. And then it's like, Mark who? And I mean, they obviously knew what they were doing. I mean, I'm so glad you.
I give a lot of credit to their executive committee, particularly Pete Platten.
Yeah.
He really had headed up the search, and that was, you know, I was kind of probably a little bit of an out of the box hire.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mine's
and
cool.
I, you know, I give him credit for having confidence in me.
So let's, a few things I want to get through, but you didn't have the smoothest start in the world.
No. Well, it was.
Guess whatever word I'm.
So I'm going to say my second or third month on the job.
Yeah.
Brett Favre announces that he's going to retire. So immediately we go
because of that Murphy guy.
I hadn't. So he's going to retire, and I think probably like the 3 to 4 years before that, he'd kind of talked about maybe I'm going to retire, and it was, but you know, it seemed really serious. So we went forward with plans. We're going to retire his number. We'll honor him at the home opener the next year. We're going to install Aaron Rodgers, this unknown backup, as the new quarterback. And then I think it was like in June, we get a call from Favre, and he says, I got an itch. And it was like, what do you mean? What are you going to itch? He says, I'm itching to play again. And so it was funny. We were on our annual tailgate tour when that broke. And so that was kind of my introduction to Green Bay. We're not in Hamilton, New York anymore.
No.
So there were people, newscasters, national media following us on every little town on the tailgate tour, trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually, and I, as hard as it was really good, because very early in my tenure, it forced me to work really closely with both Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy. And we were all on the same page.
Good.
You know, we'd made a commitment to Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to move forward with that. And dealing with Brett Favre's agent was challenging.
Oh,
they just said, we'll just release him. We can get something in return. And eventually, obviously ended up trading him to the Jets. And, so that's where all old Packer quarterbacks go. They go to the Jets.
they don't do very
isn't
well either.
Isn't that funny? Think about what are the odds of...
What do you think about when you see these lists? And I don't know if there's one magic bullet, but you look at all the quarterbacks the Bears have gone through and these other teams, and you've really had three.
Yeah.
Like, and you're praised for putting people on the bench like... How does that happen?
I mean, things. There's an old saying in the NFL, and I think there's a lot of truth in it. The best time to draft a quarterback is when you don't need one.
Yeah.
because, you know, when you really need one, you're desperate.
And, right.
And the other thing, when I and you have to have you have to be disciplined enough to not play them before they're ready.
Right.
And so for both Aaron and Jordan, they sat for 3 years under great players, watched them, learned from them, so that when finally they had the chance to play, they were ready. Because you see a lot in the league, you know, and you know, that players, quarterbacks particularly, play before they're ready. They lose confidence, and it's hard to get it back. And, you know, now, I give a lot of credit to Ted Thompson and now Brian Gutekunst that, you know, to really stick to it. And, you know.
So you're praised for that, or the Packers are praised for that, I should say. And you're, of course, a big part of that. That to play the slow game, though, could you do that if you were not community owned, or if you were private? Does that have anything to do with it, or is that just you're just smarter than they are? You know?
That's a really good question. I think. Each team is, you know, each owner is a little different. Some, like, for instance, you know, Packers just played in Pittsburgh. I view the Pittsburgh as a community-owned team. That's the way they're run. When you have individual owners who have spent millions of dollars, billions of dollars on their franchises, you know, and they draft somebody high, they want to see the benefits or the positives of that right away.
So I was reading through some things, and I don't know that you have any regrets, but you think you could have won more Super Bowls? Did I see something? Did you?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean,
I think you could have.
When I was there, now losing in the NFC Championship games, those are tough. Especially
Seattle.
Especially Seattle, and then Tampa Bay when you're at home.
Somebody asked me what my biggest fear was being mayor. I'm like the Giants. When they came in here and beat us, that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But,
you know, that was my first month in the job. And I'm thinking, we're going to the Super Bowl. We got
right.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but by and large, I mean you've had an unbelievable winning percentage. The Packers have obviously turned around.
Well, and the reality, it's hard to win in the NFL, and it's really, really hard to win in the playoffs in the NFL because you've got – and, you know, what it comes down to is peaking at the end of the season, peaking as you get into the playoffs. There were so many times with the Packers where we kind of clinch our division with three or four games to go and you kind of lose your momentum and – you know, the one year we did win the Super Bowl, we got in at the very end and we played our very best.
Tables. That was that was all road games.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We didn't have. Yeah. We Bears won the division.
Yeah.
And beating the Bears.
I was there with you at that game.
Yeah. Beating the Bears in the NFC Championship game at Soldier Field was pretty sweet.
Do you have a highlight with all your years with the Packers? Is there something that's like, oh, my God, that's...
Well, in terms of football, obviously winning the Super Bowl. That was just a special year where everything came together. But, you know, overall, I think, the improvements to the stadium, really proud of those. And then Titletown has been, I think, a nice addition to the community.
It's been a great addition. And I don't think you could get away with this if you were a private owner, but to dedicate all those acres just to park space. Park space doesn't generate a lot of revenue.
Well, you know, it's funny. Titletown, we put a 100-yard football field right in the middle of it, and turns out there's no return on that. And we just, you know, but that we wanted that to kind of be the signature. And, you know, the other big thing is the Tubing Hill. And that was, you know, we did focus groups, and people in the community said, put something in, you know, the winters are really long and cold in Green Bay. Put something in that will get us outside and keep us active in the winters. Yeah. And that was the Tubing Hill and the skating trail. Yeah.
That whole Titletown, like, I don't want to say why did you do it? I mean, but did you do that for fear of the state, a strike, just as another revenue source? Or did you do it because you wanted to be... You sure didn't have to do it for attendance because you're sold out till hell won't have it.
It was really more, we're a community-owned team, so Anything that we can do to enhance the community, have, you know, make Green Bay a year-round destination.
Right.
And, you know, particularly for, that's the great thing. I mean, year-round now.
It is.
Titletown's packed. It's just.
I would have preferred you went.
I know. East. You and I had, I Jim, it's
over.
The entire Green Bay area.
Love it. We're still getting taxes out of it. Anyway, so I think we're going to. We have one more segment. I want to talk about your future. I'm so delighted you stayed here because you obviously could live pretty much anywhere. You decided to stay here. I want to talk about your purchase of the golf course, a little bit about UWGB. I want to do all that when we come back, okay? We've got one more segment. Mark Murphy is our special guest in-house. You'll be right back. I'll be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back, everyone. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We have one of my favorites, Mark Murphy, former president of the Green Bay Packers, in-house. And we're just kind of wrapping up his time with the Packers and some of his highlights. And I think you have done a lot economically. You can see Titletown. You can see the championship wins. But you really emphasize that the Packers are the people's team, and you never took it corporate, which I think, people were afraid of that. I mean, I just got to tell you, we love our team and we want it to stay local, not just because of the ownership, but because of the attitude and the culture. And you're out in the parking lot taking selfies, and you were the right guy.
Well, yeah, and Bob Harlan was did a great job, and he was really helpful to me in terms of my transition and, you know, giving me a sense of the culture of the organization here. And you're right, I think a real corporate person in that position would not do well. I think you need to really be in touch with the fans, and I loved like our tailgate tours, and as you said, you know, walking around Lambeau Field and watching the tailgaters and just getting a sense of what kind of experience the fans are having.
And
Lambeau Field, there's nothing like it in the NFL. Yeah. These new stadiums are great, but to know when you go to a game at Lambeau, you're watching a game in the same stadium in the same place that people did when they watched Vince Lombardi coach.
And that is.
And you know, the other thing we have done though, and they'll continue to do it, is it's a really special place to watch a game. You know the sense of history, but you also fans, there are certain things that fans expect now at NFL games when they're, so you're still providing them those, you know, the video boards.
Everything.
But it's still, you can still get the sense that, when Lombardi was coaching there and, we still have bench seats and it's,
as I know all too well, that is still a bucket list thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
God.
People call with these letters and, I don't know if most of them are true, I would hope. Yeah. But
if you're an NFL fan and you haven't been to a game at Lambeau, you need to get here.
I had a guy that when I lived out west, met him, sold his company, and he called me. He goes, I don't care what it costs. He was one of those guys, flew private, because I'm going to a game, got him tickets, and we had a great time. And that was just his bucket. Then he was going to Notre Dame and a few other things weekly. Yeah.
Other thing is come to a game in December. When it's cold, you get the real Lambeau experience.
That it is. So you had a great career at Lambeau, and then at 70, mm-hmm. and you would have stayed had it not been 70 mandatory retirement, or would you be ready?
I would have stayed. I was enjoying it. But I, you know, that said, I think it's a good rule.
Yeah. 70's
you
pretty
see,
young
you
though.
See, yeah. You see it a lot in the business world and, you know, in the NFL too, that
stay too
people
long.
Stay too long.
Yeah, they do.
And, you know, Ed was ready. And, in what, I think 16, 17 years, there'll be another person coming in.
That goes fast, doesn't it?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Hey, so I'm glad you stayed. You could have gone Phoenix, Florida, where your mom is. But you decided to stay in Green Bay. Tell me about you always had a good relationship with UWGB, but what's your role there and what do you hope to accomplish there?
Yeah, you know, obviously I have a pretty strong background in terms of higher education with working at both Colgate and Northwestern. So I missed that when I took the job with the Packers. And pretty early in my tenure with the Packers, I had the opportunity to become a member of the Council of Trustees at UWGB. Mm-hmm. So I've been involved with the university for, 15, 16 right. years. And have great respect for Michael Alexander and Josh Moon, their athletic director. So, they came to me with the possibility of working as an executive in residence. And really, was an exciting opportunity. It's kind of taken me back to my roots in college athletics. And, executive in residence, I'm not being compensated, but I do have an office, which is very nice.
Yeah.
And really focus, and college athletics is changing so much. It's crazy.
I was at a dinner one time, and you spoke. Sundance was getting, I think you introduced him, and you said, look, a lot of good jobs out there, but the only job I wouldn't want right now is to be an athletic director at a college because of all this LMI, all this money.
NIL, and the transfer portal.
How are we going to compete with like a KU when their payroll is $4 million and we can't even afford? It's changed since you were there. Does that scare you? Evidently it doesn't. You took the job.
Well, yeah, one of the things that, hopefully I can help is, particularly in the athletic department is, helping raise money for.
Right.
The reality of college athletics
isn't it?
They're getting paid. And, it's maybe not what we would have envisioned 15, 20 years ago, but right. things have evolved. And being able to help with name, image, and likeness payments for players, raise money for the school, and also mentor and work with coaches and administrators.
I'm glad you're doing that. I think that we're going to benefit big time.
Yeah.
Hey, two things. Tell me about your golf course.
All right. Max Welton Braes.
Right.
I can get you on, Jim.
Okay.
It's great. We love it. It's up in Bailey's Harbor. Best golf course in Bailey's Harbor, also the only one.
But, we'll leave that out.
It's almost 100 years old, 18 holes, great public right. course. Was about to be sold to developers, and my wife and I wanted to make sure it stayed a golf course.
Thank you for buying that and being part of the community. Quickly, Packer prediction.
Oh, Super Bowl, baby.
Okay. I wouldn't have expected anything else. I just had to end on another high note. Hey, thank you for being here. And again,
I'm really bullish. I think the Packers have a chance.
You really think they're going to do it?
I think they have a chance to be very special this year.
Well, that means a lot coming from you because you know the inside. So, all right. Well, that's going to be great to watch them. I hope you're right on that. But I know you're right on sticking around. And thanks for all you've done for Greater Green Bay, for really Northeast Wisconsin, for the whole NFL. We got to get you back sometime. You're a fun guest.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jim.
All right, you bet. Take care. Yeah. You've been listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, special guest Mark Murphy. We will see you next week.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.